今天玩，public hearing，public hearing
open board
open board
there's so there's because there's no finalizations, there isn't a public hearing, so this is just the open board portion. You guys, those on the phone, on the computer, my name is John Capone, staff attorney for the Ambition Parks. As referenced, this is the open forum portion of our meeting. I have a list, quite a lengthy list of individuals that have already signed up to talk. I'll try to group them by topic category. And the first one that I have here in front of me is the Missouri River Waterfowl Refuge, Larry Steffens. And as a reminder to those getting testimony, please limit your testimony to 3 minutes. So this is about 17 individuals. Larry Steffen, are you in the room? Or?
Yeah, here he comes. And I would also ask that for all those that want to speak today, if you've heard your presentation given 2 or 3 times, more isn't always better all the time. You're certainly welcome to speak, but if you've got something new to add, that's the important thing. So, Larry, come on in.
Sorry, you're a little slower. My wrong here, we thought you were over at Red Rover. Oh, we were waiting over there, and we were only that long, there ain't nobody here.
I drove by this place 3 times, and I ended up with the Red Rover. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, Steve
over there. You know, I think when I'll start, my name is Steve Nelson, Mr. Chairman, member of the commission, secretary of all those. I'm a past executive director of the association, and to begin with, I'll be pretty briefly. We've had plays with our officers and directors over the past month or so, notified over 100 of our members, mainly from the peer area, that this hearing was coming up, and they'd come in and say what they wanted to say. At our last meeting last week, we made some significant changes, and Larry will talk about those, the board and the directors. It may be that we need to meet further down the line with Tom Kirschman and his staff on some of these and send you some further information, but we'll touch on them today. I wanted very closely to mention 2 things in the short time allotted. When we talk about hunting, remember Hunter Dave. We probably have the average over the land goose hunter in Pierre probably hunts 10 days, maybe longer, maybe 20. So that adds up to quite a few when you talk about the number of days hunted versus just somebody going hunting. And I wanted to talk about the geese for just a second. And equate it to your front yard, the safety of the geese. What would you think if you came home after work every night and somebody took a shot at you in your front yard? Well, that's what happens to these geese out here if they don't have a refuge. They like the land, like above the dam here out in the middle where it's safe. Then they move in towards evening along the shore. They want to be on the land where it's close to water. And they come back to the safest place, whether there's a refuge there or not. Now, they've been doing this at the Degray Refuge for 60 years, and there's been good hunting there for 60 years.
45 seconds.
Okay. With that, I'd like to welcome Commissioner Bartleby to appear into this meeting. I turn the mic over to Larry. I want to thank you for your time.
Okay, but I know I've only got 3 minutes, so I'll make this quick. Now, the refuge up above, the original map was to take the whole river where it was, all the way across. We thought, instead of that, go from Georgia boat dock, half the river to the face of the dam. That way that leaves, you know, all the top. Don't have to necessarily make it a core line refuge. Make it so you leave the top open, it's all public hunting. Every bit of it would be public hunting. There's not one, well, there's no commercial goose hunters left in the state anymore anyway. So. But anyway, those geese like to settle on there and they get guys get in there, and the guys go in there and hunt them, they do it right. And the guys that go in there and hunt them, and they'll do it right. But this year was a good example. They got there quite a bit, and then they left, most of them. So, but and then there's one down below, which is like to leave that to say. The way we got it rolled up.
Well, with this leaves on the west side of the river to be 500 miles of shoreline from here to Gettysburg. We're over the water shooting. And by taking out the refuge at the end of Peoria and around the backside, that would open that area all the way up over the Okeboke Creek to over the water shooting. And in essence, what we're asking for is about a 6-8 mile strip from Fore Bay to the boat landing at Peoria Flat.
This is all surrounded by public ground. There's public shooting atop the hill, the community atop the hill, making refuge to the top of the hill, and then it's all public all the way around the base of the dam. And by taking out the other refuges, you're not really losing that much refuge here. You're just putting the refuge where the geese want to sit. If you look at the map and the refuges, Victoria Flats and Spring Creek, there's no wind protection or anything for the geese there. If you move it from where you want it over where we'd like to have it, then there's all protection in the little bays and stuff back in there for the geese to sit.
45 seconds remaining.
Well, I guess that's about all. You know, we're just proposing. So I think the one in Peoria or Peoria Flats is a hell of an idea, because you look at the people that hunted up on top of the dam this year, and you know, I don't know on that side of the Core Bay how many people hunted there, but they could if they wanted to. So it's got to be a plan to where you make the refuge and then you the top. So it can only go so far in the top, so they don't get down and encroach on the geese down there and the geese can put in. Thank you.
Thank you. The next individual I have signed up is George Vandell.
Good afternoon. My name is George Vandell. I'm also I live in Pierce, South Dakota. I'm also the president of the South Dakota Waterfowl Association, and would like my comments to reflect both, I guess, as an individual and as the president of the Waterfowl Association. There's a couple of things I'd like to address, and I'm going to keep my comments specific to the proposal. I just listened to Larry and Steve, and frankly, I got a little lost. I don't know exactly what they're talking about. So until I see something on a map, I'm going to keep my comments specific to the proposal that you have in front of you. First, we hear that there's 500 miles of empty shoreline up there that's open for hunting. You know, and if there were ducks there, I wouldn't even be here today, okay? I'm here to tell you, the ducks go where they want to go. And the art of duck hunting is to find where those ducks are. And it takes hours and hours of scouting to find a duck, one of the population of ducks that's outside of that refuge. And then to set your hunt plans so that you should be the one there. It's not for the meek of heart. This is tough hunting. It's open water conditions. It's rains. It's mud. It's not an easy hunt. Okay? But if you do it all right, it's a lot of fun. It's a really great way to hunt. So I guess my comment is be careful if you think there's 500 miles of open water up there. That's not. Not all of them have ducks. In fact, everything on the Cheyenne River Reservation is frozen hunting. You have to hunt below the watermark. And if you hunt above the watermark, you can get arrested. So that's not open to public hunting. So be careful when you hear that. Like I say, if there were that many areas of ducks, I wouldn't even be here. One other point I'd like to make. I think it's important to understand that the existing system we have on the ground right now is a result of a lot of compromise. Okay, the boat hunters don't have everything they want, the bluff hunters don't have everything they want, and the field hunters don't have everything they want. But in those years when the geese do come in South Dakota, everybody has good hunting. So the system we've got is really a good compromise right now. And if you start pitting hunter against hunter, boat hunters versus field hunters, I think all you're doing is really causing a lot of disruption and a lot of angst amongst the waterfowl hunters. community that's not needed. The system we got is a good system. Not everybody's happy with it, but you know what? Sometimes that's our problem. And if we start doing things, figuring it out, and without, frankly, involving all the players involved, I think you're making a mistake. Like I said, if you pick on or against them. I guess in conclusion, I'd like to mention that, you know what, I'm 73 years old. I'll be 73 in January. That light at the end of the tunnel gets brighter and brighter every year. It's a tough way to have. But you know what? I'm not doing it for me. I've got a few years left. I hope I don't break an ankle or do something stupid. But you know what? I've trained my sons how to hunt in this method. And they really like hunting in this method. I've got six grandkids. Two of them already have been on hunts like this. So I've already got two more duck hunters coming. I got one more grandkid. So frankly, that's what I'm doing this for. It isn't for George Vandell. It's for the future of duck hunting in South Dakota. Please keep these options open so people have the choice to pick what method to use to hunt. And with that, I'll stand by, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, I have Peter Coble.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Very well done. Thunder Department, I hear it. Right? my name is Pete Coble. I live in Rapid City, South Dakota. Just a little bit of quick background of why I'm here today. I retired in 2016, 2017. My wife and I were looking for a place next to the water to have a cabin, and we couldn't think of any better place to be than the reserve. So we ended up building a cabin at Peoria Flats. And I don't know how many of you people understand about where that might be in relation to this proposed refuge, but this is a proposed refuge. My cat is right there. And recreation for my wife on the water is going out on a pontoon, going out in the middle of the reservoir, and sitting out there for 3 to 4 hours. To me, not so much. What I love to do is waterfall hunt. I waterfall hunt for all year. I waterfall hunt the last day of the duck season in mid-January, and last day of the duck season, or the goose season, in mid-February. I hunted three ways from my cabin. The first way was I walked right down from the bluff, about 300 yards down to the water's edge, threw out a pack of some decoys, got behind a rock with my dog, and hopefully shot a couple of birds. With this proposal, and again, just like George said, I really don't understand what Mr. Nelson and Mr. Stephan are talking about at this point. But with this current proposal that you're considering, that would not be an option for me. The second way I hunted this year was I walked across at Core Bay on the ice 3 years ago from the boat ramp, walked up on the bluff, and passed out some heat. With this proposal, that's not an option for me. And the last way I hunted, which is like the court didn't mention, boat hunting from east shore, west shore, up into these bays in this proposed waterfall refuge expansion. And that's going to be going as well. So this is a big deal for me. And not only for me, I think a lot of other people. I think South Dakota's changed. I used to be able to knock on a door and hopefully get permission to hunt. That's evolved, and that's really not as much of an option anymore. And those are opportunities for me that really aren't there anymore. So public land hunting, public access, public opportunity is really so much more important for me than for many other people at this point. This proposal does not recruit new hunters, me. Does not retain hunters like myself, and it doesn't reactivate other people, in my opinion. So this would be a big, big deal for me, and my opportunities to hunt at near my home is basically gone. Thanks for listening to my comments.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Next on the list, I have Andy Vandell.
And thanks for not having me go right after my father. I appreciate that. Yes, thanks for having me, Commission, Secretary Roblin, Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Andy Vandell, President of the High Plains Wildlife Association here in Pierre, and I'm also a public land owner. I'm here on behalf of the High Plains Wildlife Association in strong opposition to this proposal. High Plains, which is a Pier Fort Pier affiliate of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation, was founded on the interest of preserving quality hunting and fishing opportunities, promoting the use of public lands, and educating youth for preserving our hunting, fishing, and outdoor heritage. The proposal refuge expansion goes against many of the interests of High Plains and the sportsmen and women of South Dakota. These public lands provide ample opportunity for both duck hunting over the water and pass shooting, and does so for generations of waterfowl hunters. Many youth hunters in the Pier Fort Pier area, including myself, learned to waterfowl hunt within the proposed refuge expansion. I've shot my first duck in based on the area just down from Palm Island, and that's why I'm passionate about being here and fighting to keep it for the next generation to pass on, like my nephews and nieces that my father mentioned. This parcel, it doesn't require you to go up to a trailer and register an hour before sunrise, like the Lower Rocky Waterfowl Access Area. It's available for high school kids to go up and hunt after school, like I did, back when you can have a shotgun in your car in the parking lot and get up there. And now today I leave right after work and go hunt these areas. It also provides an area for families to have 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday or Sunday morning to go put in a boat off the polo field and motor across and hunt in November at a time well before the main migration of geese even happened. I've heard arguments that this area is only important because it's close to Pierre. And while that is true, whether this parcel is 5 miles from Pierre or 50, it's the amount of access that really makes it set itself apart from the other hundreds of miles of shoreline on the Missouri River. Within these combined areas, there's 5 concrete boat ramps, 26 roads or trails, paths, pull-offs that allow for people to get off the road, walk down the shoreline, or pass shoot. So really it's that access that sets it apart, not the location necessarily. Public lands like this with that amount of access are critical for the recruitment, retention, and reactivation of waterfowl hunting. So I feel that the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, the Commission, organizations like High Plains, South Dakota Wildlife Federation, and the South Dakota Migratory Bird Association should continue to find ways to create and or expand on quality hunting opportunities that we have, not to take them away that this proposal does. In closing, the High Plains Wildlife Association will not support any closure of public hunting opportunities without a guarantee of creating more opportunity in return. The only guarantee of this proposal is to eliminate waterfowl hunting opportunities on 3,000 acres of highly accessible land with only hope that more geese will show up. Thank you.
The next person on the list is Paul Levisoe.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. I'm Paul Lapisto, a Regional Conservation Coordinator for the Isaac Walton League of America, live here in Pierre, and I'm here today representing the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League. The South Dakota Division appreciates the opportunity to comment on the proposal to expand the waterfowl refuge on the Missouri River near Pierre and Fort Pierre. We respectfully ask that you deny this proposal. The League and the Division strive to involve more adults and especially young people in sustainable and ethical outdoor activities. We're strong supporters of R3, as you've already heard, recruit, retain, and reactivate. We want to see more people involved in the outdoors. We believe the expansion proposal goes entirely against R3 goals. If adopted, this proposal would greatly modify the existing refuge boundaries, increasing the size of the refuge by over 440%. That expansion would eliminate existing waterfowl hunting opportunities
for the public on what is now public water and public land. This at the same time that the department and many conservation and sportsman organizations are working to increase participation in waterfowl and other forms of hunting on outdoors. There is no evidence in the proposal that expanding the existing refuge boundaries will either attract or hold more waterfowl here in the pier area. But it is a guarantee that the current, by expanding the current refuge boundaries, it will decrease people's ability to hunt ducks and geese along the Missouri River in central South Dakota. The proposal will have major impacts, not just for hunters here in the Pier, Fort Pierce area, but as your public comments have already shown, people from all over South Dakota and all over other parts of the country that come to the Pier area to enjoy waterfowl hunting opportunities along the Missouri River. The South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America respectfully again ask you to deny the proposal, that was originally submitted, and that you do not make any adjustments to the boundaries of this refuge on the Missouri River. The division does not support any closure of public land or public water in South Dakota. Thank you for the opportunity to comment, and thank you for your service on the commission.
Next on the list is Derek Shuffleblind.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the Commission, Secretary Roblin. My name is Derek Shuffleblind. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and other common sportsmen here in South Dakota. I'm here today in opposition to the proposed Logging Dam Waterfowl Refuge expansion or any amendment of this proposal. I've been hunting and following waterfowl trends in the Dakotas for 30 years, and I oppose this proposal because of the loss of opportunity for outdoorsmen and women. I'm an opportunistic waterfowl hunter. I use all opportunities to hunt waterfowl, from decoys in the field to decoys on the water, and passion. There are many different interests in this room today because of personal preference on different hunting styles or commercial hunting interests. The styles include decoy field hunting, decoy water hunting, and passion. But the truth is, this isn't a hunting pressure issue at all. Hunting pressure is not the problem. It has nothing to do with the loss of goose numbers in the pure area. Migration patterns have simply changed because of agricultural practices in North Dakota and Canada. Canada geese have been moving north and changing with the corn hybrids for decades. In the time of the Canada geese heyday of Pier, central South Dakota had the northernmost corn. As corn pressed north into central North Dakota by the mid-1990s, Canada geese have found better wintering conditions with hundreds of miles of corn in North Dakota along Lake Sakakawea and the Garrison Dam Tail Race. Until that corn is covered with 12 inches or more of snow, Pier is simply the second or third choice in large rate wintering Canada geese. We're going to hear a lot about geese today, but this leaves out a big topic of discussion, ducks. Ducks tend to migrate before Canada geese, and they provide many opportunities on this stretch of the Missouri River that's in this proposal. Ducks provide opportunity when the geese simply won't leave North Dakota. I and hundreds of others take advantage of these ducks every year, and they migrate every year. We're going to hear a lot of personal beliefs today, and I want to provide some scientific data. This data is backed up by the North Dakota and South Dakota waterfowl biologists. Midwinter goose counts have been conducted since the 1930s in all 50 states around the first week of January. They count ducks and geese and eagles, all these different numbers to manage birds. Those numbers have shown that in North Dakota, prior to 1998, it was rare to count more than 10,000 geese in January during this midwinter count. From 98 to 2004, it ranged up to 90,000 geese. Records were set three consecutive years after that, and in 2008, 175,000 geese wintering in North Dakota during the first week of January.
You have about 30 seconds left.
So as you listen to this data, the last 10 years alone, 120,000 geese have managed to live in North Dakota during the winter. All this is happening while South Dakota has had 21 waterfowl refuges on the Missouri River. North Dakota during this time has had one waterfall that is one. And South Dakota is losing the numbers to North Dakota, and they have one waterfall refuge. And it's just a goose refuge, not a duck refuge. You can still hunt ducks in this place, just below the Garrison Dam. Adding more refuges only guarantees one thing, the loss of opportunity for every single person in this room based on the choice of the species they want to hunt and the hunting style. Any person can choose to use this area if they so desire today. The risk is too great and the reward is too small if there's anything to gain at all from this. Duck hunting opportunities are available before the Canada geese migrate on the Missouri River. As I said, I'm an opportunistic hunter and I've adapted to this, and I hunt more ducks now because of the data that I do read, because it's only best those about 3 out of 10 years that they even show up.
You're asking for that.
We vote no on this expansion. Thanks for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? All right, thank you. Next on the list is Nathan Morey.
Thank you for your time. My name is Nathan Morey. I grew up in a small farm in central North Dakota and moved to South Dakota to go to school and eventually ended up in here for a career. And I've stayed here. I'm 42 years old. I moved here in the late 2000s and I was given opportunities to look at me, in particular the waterfowl hunting. And immediately upon moving here, it was evident the culture of waterfowl hunting, in particular duck hunting on water, late season duck hunting on water, and pass shooting in the fall. If you talk to the sportsmen around here, that is part of the fabric of this hunting culture. And the area that this refuge is being proposed is in the heart of that. This is an area that I look forward to every year. January is the time for duck hunting in South Dakota, and this is a portal that would take that away. And so what reason? As been mentioned by a number of the people here, that would be guaranteed to be taken away. So what are we going to gain? And I have not seen any reasonable data to suggest that opportunities would expand from this proposal. So really, when we boil this down, this is infighting amongst sportsmen. And it is troublesome to me that I am taking time off of work to sit here to, defend my privileged access to public land, and hunt. That truly is, something that's important to me and why I live and chosen to live in this area. So, I guess I strongly propose the proposal, in any form, and that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Next on the list, I have Roger Hatlin.
Well, as you can see by the gray hair, I'm not taking time off from work. Kind of like George. It's getting to the end of my career of hunting. And this area down here is absolutely unbelievable for a duck hunter. And anyway, I guess, other than saying that, other than one thing, the birds that come through here now, they didn't used to, but now the birds that come through here, the only reason they get here is because of what happens up in North Dakota. And if you want scientific information, all you got to do is go back and look at the animals Dan Lake. Back in the 60s, by the third weekend in October, you had 300,000 snow geese on Dan Lake National Refuge. Within, say, 4 or 5 years after Texas, Louisiana, got after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they took all of the grain out of Sand Lake. Geese were gone, and they haven't been back since. So no matter how many refuges you put out here, that's not going to bring more geese into this area. The geese are going to be here for one reason and one reason only, and that is the weather up in North Dakota. And I also have three pictures from right above the sheep's house up there on that whole shoreline after the hunting was over with, because I was one of them down there hunting. And all three pictures, you can see the whole shoreline is lined with ducks, geese, everything else, after everybody got there. There were three boats in there that morning. And if anybody wants to look at them, I can show them to you. But anyway, those geese, they move around a little bit, but they come right back to that same area after the, and it doesn't take days. It takes hours, and they're right back in that same area. They just, that's an area to hunt. Just look at the refuges from Dodge Draw down here. Every refuge on that Missouri River is right in front of some food camp, either present or past. And I think there's 10 of them. You count, you got Dodge Draw, that was House of the House Ranch. You got Sutton Bay, that was Bob Steakhouse. You got Sutton Bay, where he's done. Sutton, you got Whitlock Bay, that was Bob Smith and all the guys that hunt around there. And then you just go right on down the line. And those are the areas where those birds, you know, stick to stay, and they just keep coming back every year, other than when you guys put the salmon station in up at Whitlock. That kind of took care of that. That kind of took care of that area. But I would sure hate to miss that, because I had grandsons that were here hunting in the fall, too. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier for me to walk down there without decoys on my back, down and out, when the grandkids haul them. And they came from Wyoming, so, you know, they paid a lot of money to come here and hunt. And they, when I told them about this, they laughed. And, oh, they can't see our grandpa's. But whatever. I would really appreciate you guys voting no on this, because it's going to take a lot of land and a lot of hunting from probably not a lot of people. Kind of like Swan Lake. After we got all that rain over there, you can't hunt around it anyway, because all the only thing that's around the lake is private land right now, other than a few little areas that they'll come back to. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Ron.
Hey. That's all I had listed for individuals who wanted to talk on a very, very waterfowl refuge. Is there anyone from the river or online that I missed?
Someone raising his hand back there, John. Got a piece of paper for him to sign up on anywhere?
I guess I agree with all the people that are against, you know, doubling all their ideas and everything like that. I hunt down that lower part. We hunt offshore, and we always have a gentleman's agreement where we don't hunt on top of geese. We let them get up, come over us. When we're done, everybody picks up their empties. We pick up the garbage that other people have left. You know, everything's clean. But I did find one thing interesting. I was out in Washington State a couple weeks ago out fishing, and I talked to a guy I've been out for the last couple of years, and he is, so he said they haven't expanded their refuge, but what they did is their decoying changed. So they only decoy Wednesdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. And he said their number of geese has just been expanded. He said this year was the best year they ever had. You know, because the geese have four places to land, they're not getting shot off, but they go feed every day, and they just said it's been incredible. That's about all I got, I guess.
Your name was?
Lance Roberts.
Thanks. Sorry.
Yes, thanks. Pierce, that's
okay.
Yeah, I'd probably hunt down there in that lower part more than anybody else.
All right.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Anyone else in the room that wanted to talk or comment on a waterfowl refuge? not, I'll move on to the next topic that we have people signed up for, and that is the shooting range land transfer. Had Matt Camera listed first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the people of this committee, Mr. Robbins. I am Matt Camerer from Rapid City, South Dakota. My family homesteaded there in 1882, and they're looking at putting a gun range next to us. One of the issues that I have with it is they went almost a year building this before they realized there was a section line in the middle of their gun range. So now their topic is to move it to the south end of it. This puts me right in the tailwaters of a big dam to build a road if I ever had to develop anything back in there. Also in this spot, I'm in the bottom of the draw. 100 yards to the north, there's a steep hill on the road, and about 150 yards to the south, there's another, not as steep, but there's a hill there. About 7 years ago, Joe Norman was moving his cows down the hill, and a car comes speeding down the road, busted over the hill, and killed about 7 cattle. Some of them had to be put down, but it broke legs and everything else. So the spot that they're looking at putting me in is not a very good spot. And my county commissioners have been very avid in the last few years about not moving and not relocating and not closing section lines. I think I have them on board. These guys are going to build a gun range with a section line through the middle of it. Also, there's road issues. This is a mid county, and all the traffic and stuff mainly is coming from Pennington County and Rapid City. My county is going to be stressed on the cops, ambulance, roads, and all the money is going to be going back to Rapid City. It's going to put a financial burden on us, and they've been asked to blacktop the road, and that, I'm guessing somewhere about probably $1 million a mile, $1.5 million a mile. That's not on their proposal. Also, the proposal that I was handed in July that they have don't even show the $900,000 on their $9.9 million for the range, don't show the $900,000 for the acquisition of the land. So that puts it at $10.9. There's a guideline from the Game Fish and Parks that shows different ways of acquisitioning land. There are several points in here that I feel they have never even addressed as far as financial impact. There is also appraisals. John Tanta told me after a meeting that Jim Stahl called in, said I found the perfect piece of ground, and I signed a purchase agreement. Wow, I never knew an appraiser could get out there that fast overnight. So the other part of it is that this ground was bought for about $760 an acre less than 10 years ago. They give him $2,250. Why would the state let some private individual negotiate the price of this land? But what they're telling you is $1,450 an acre is the appraisal, and they're giving you $2,250. They need a different person to be looking for the ground, and I think they need to find a new place to build them. I hope you guys got some questions later. Thank you.
The next person I've listed is Chris Hetzel.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Secretary Oldman, Chris Hessel, Executive Director of South Dakota Wildlife Federation. First off, we are opposed to the refuge change, and I didn't want to comment during that time, but we are opposed to it. I couldn't do any better to say the reasons why than the people you did it. I also wanted to step up and comment on the gun range. We are supporting that 100%. I just wanted to thank Secretary Oakley and Tom Kirschman and the staff, how hard they've worked on it so far. And I urge you guys to move forward with it. because I think it's something needed to be something that the state of South Dakota has done. What's the kind of women that are in Detroit?
Interesting. The next person I'd like on my list is Steve Cavalier.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone for coming, and thank you particularly to Secretary Roebling for your efforts on this really important proposal. I'd like to speak to the business end of this because I've been in business for 40 years. I've been running my own company. Some could say I probably could have run it better. I don't take spaceships or anybody for a ride in spaceships, but I have my own successes, and I appreciate that. For the last 14 years, I have been involved with Mr. Skull in running around this state looking for a place to put a range. We have been in a lot of places, and everybody talked about how it would be so easy for a businessman to do this on a private basis. And I'm here to tell you that no businessman would go through what we have been through and what Secretary Roebling and John Canada and Tom Kirschman and the whole Game Fish and Parks has been through in trying to get this done in the most safe, responsible, concerned, and EPA compliant manner. This is a monumental task, and it's going to be free to the public. No businessman would do that. That's crazy. You can't justify it on any sort of a business plan basis. It's not possible. I've heard a lot about noise. I have shot somewhere near a half million rounds in competitive shooting in the last 40 years. It's something I love to do. In April, I have a road trip planned, assuming there's going to be diesel available for a road trip. And my loadout is about 3,000 rounds of 9mm, 5,000 rounds of .223, and 5 flats of 12-gauge ammunition to shoot approximately 5 matches across the country in the end of March and beginning of April. I know something about ranges, and I know something about promoting events, and this range is without question not equaled in the United States of America and probably most countries. I haven't shot all countries, but I've shot a few, and I can tell you that this will be one of the most spectacular attractions, not just for Pennington, not just for Rapid City, but for all of South Dakota. People will come here and bring their families here and see the incredible fishing opportunities and hunting opportunities. People aren't just going to go have a burger at McDonald's in Rapid City, although I'm sure a few people will do that. But this is...
30 seconds.
Say again.
You have about 30 seconds remaining.
Thank you. So I support it. I suggest that this is the right time, this is the right place, and I urge the committee to get this done. Thanks.
Sir? The next person I have on my list is Dennis Jorgensen.
My name is Dennis Jorgensen, and I am a resident of Meade County, South Dakota. I'm a firearms instructor certified by the National Rifle Association to teach courses in rifle, pistol, shotgun, and personal protection. I'm also a high school volleyball coach with 25 years of experience teaching life lessons to young women and men through sports. These lessons include dedication, hard work, determination, and attention to detail. As a high school coach, I also focus on certain physical characteristics that are essential for success and condition in sports. In sports,
open trouble hearing.
Okay. According to the shooting report, left the field because by the shooting report, you cannot see the swimming start. Nothing is because you have an opportunity to learn the system. It's a temporary and other athletic conditions. Additionally, the shooting report can provide opportunities for these athletes to go to college because there are dozens of schools across the country with rifle pistol and shotgun. And they offer scholarships. So these folks have to have top-notch training facilities in order to learn the skills necessary. Those shooting facilities are...
Mr. Ferguson, could you maybe try logging off and logging back on, and I'll come back to you if you've got a better connection? Right now,
okay.
We're having a little... I'm trying to hear you.
Okay, will do.
With that, is Terry Jorgensen available?
I am. Can you hear me on the phone? Can you hear me? Okay, awesome. Okay, can I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay, awesome. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Jorgensen, retired military officer living in Meade County, about 5 miles from the proposed shooting facility. I absolutely support this facility. I've had extensive shooting experiences, unfortunately not in the Air Force, but through private NRA and Game Fish Park shooting facilities. I'm grateful that safety is the number one priority of these facilities. Sadly, after testifying at one South Dakota legislative hearing and listening to the other two, I'm shocked at the lack of shooting knowledge. There are two issues that stand out to me. The first is the stray bullet argument. You'd think it's the OK Corral or West River's Beretta Road where bullets are flying haphazardly everywhere. That is just not the case. These facilities are designed to be safe. The second is sound. My husband shoots out our back 20 acres, and I shoot as well. And if I'm in the house, I can't hear him. Of course, that depends on what he's shooting. I get that. But even being outside, it's not as loud as people make out. And my property is so close to the base on the north side that I can watch the B-1 set up to land. As you can imagine, my windows rattle and the noise is quite loud when they fly overhead. I call that, and firearms training, the sound of freedom. Now, we know the Ukrainians were given weapons and no training, and I hope that we won't make the same mistake, especially across the United States as gun sales are soaring. I believe a shooting facility where South Dakotans, especially first-time gun owners, can safely train practically addresses Second Amendment. And I want to point out that the landowners that are standing against this shoot on their properties, and my question is, what safety precautions have they taken? And I also want to thank the Game Fish and Parks personnel for addressing the concerns of landowners in the area, such as road conditions, paying their fair share in taxes, fire control, and range safety issues. This myth that they have ignored the landowners is just that, a myth. And what has really struck me is how many people give lip service to supporting the Second Amendment while they are clueless about shooting. I wonder how many people are carrying guns and have no knowledge of basic gun safety. Part of the vision for this range is education, something that is desperately needed. Please, please build this range. Thank you.
Thank you. Dennis, we'll go back to you if you're on.
Sure. I'll go ahead and try this again. Maybe if I leave the video off, that'll make it better.
Yep, you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. Should I start from the top, or what would you like?
I think we heard about a minute of it before you kind of cut out.
Okay.
I'll give you another 2 minutes.
Okay, let me just say that the shooting sports give those folks, young men and women that don't have the size, the speed, or strength to play in some of the other major sports, it gives them an opportunity to participate. They have opportunities for scholarships because there are a lot of colleges throughout the country that provide scholarships for shooting.
Mr. Jorgensen, again.
Can you hear me?
No. I got the point. Again, e-sports, shooting sports, and this is important.
Yeah, I did. E-sports, get this done.
Okay, thank you. I have Brian Gosch listed next. Nancy, did you want to comment on the shooting range land purchase?
I do, but that man who can't talk to us, he should call on the phone. You're allowed to call on the phone. His phone should work.
Sorry? Do you want to comment?
I want to comment, but I thought Brian Gosch was up. Do you want me to comment or wait for Brian Gosch?
We'll go ahead. Brian Gosch had to step out of the room for a second, so you got 3 minutes, Nancy.
Okay. This is Nancy Hilding, president of Prairie Hills Audubon Society. We're opposed to the shooting range at this location, not at some other location. We think the discussion of safety is limited to this concept of bullets, and you are not thinking about lead management. Lead is a toxic substance that endangers people around, and you're also not thinking about the effect of local wildlife. But I'm going to move on to a different point. I think that I wonder if this hearing today is a farce, because you have Resolution 2103, which you passed in January of 2001, which says, whereas Jane Fish and Parks agrees to purchase the property from the foundation, the original purchase price of $900,000, and pay the foundation all associated costs incurred with the purchase and holding of said property, including real estate taxes, closing costs, an estimated loss of income on investments liquidated to make said purchase. So a year ago, you promised that you would pay the foundation back for the property at $9,000, which had not yet been appraised. And you did this after a 30-minute presentation by Mr. Canta at the January meeting, where the public had advanced knowledge of maybe 3 or 4 days if they read the agenda. And so, you know, this whole thing, and Matt got into it somewhat, violates the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks land acquisition, I don't have my camera on, land acquisition policy from 2016, at least 4 of the items, and I do not have time to go into that. Okay, so I'm going to, just like to say, you're going to comply with the best management practices of the EPA and outdoor shooting range. That's absolutely impossible. Why? It's because you picked terrible sites, particularly the North Unit. When Santa presented it in January, I think he was just talking about the South, but not the North, which is very rugged, where you're including shooting bays down in a valley between 2 ridge tops. Okay, and I can't read you this whole thing, so I'll probably run out of time. But the EPA says, if possible, ranges should be developed on flat terrain as it facilitates reclamation and reduces the chance of off-site migration due to surface water runoff as compared with highly sloped terrain. So the south part is hilly, but it's not as rough as the north part, where you're putting shooting bays in a steep valley where you're going to have intermittent streams running down. And if you carefully look at the design, they're putting trenches above the shooting bays to channel the runoff off. You know, this thing is going to need point source permits. It has all kinds of water management issues. Lead is toxic that you have not in your EA. You have not done any baseline testing anywhere.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
If you get to an EPA, if you get to NEPA, and you get to mitigations that are offered to support a FONSI, which is finding of no significance, you have to have enforceable mitigation. And you don't have any baseline testing. You have, you know, wish lists from the DNR that are not essential. I do not think this environmental assessment addresses the issues of environmental pollution. And I think that this is a terrible site from the concept of flood management. The other issue is clay soil. They're very difficult to obtain. At any rate, we're opposed to this because of safety. This is not about flying bullets. It's also about the preventing the children who live on health food from drinking that. So, at any rate, thank you.
Thank you. Is Brian Gosch back in the room?
There you go. Good afternoon, Commissioner Brian Gosch. I'm a state director for the National Rifle Association of America. I represent the NRA in five states, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and Minnesota. I'm going to approach this from two different halves, one from the NRA and one from a born and raised South Dakota. So from the NRA perspective, there's all sorts of new Pittman-Robertson funds because of all the new gun owners in America. There are approximately 8.4 million first-time gun buyers in 2020. Well, these aren't people who bought their second and third firearm. These are people who bought their first firearm ever. And you can imagine why, the type of civil unrest going on across the country. That also put a burden on the ammunition available because if each new gun owner buys two boxes, you assume 50 rounds per box, you got 100 rounds per new gun purchaser out of the supply chain. That's over 800 million rounds out of the supply chain. There are approximately 6 million first-time gun buyers in 2001. And so when these folks are buying their first gun ever, they need a place to practice. They need a place to hone in their skills. They need a place to do it safely. So I thank Secretary Robley and the Commission for considering the use of these Pittman-Robertson funds that derive from all the gun and ammunition sales, 11% tax on the manufacturer at the wholesale price for every long gun and ammunition sold, and 10% on pistols. With that greater influx of Pittman-Robertson funds, we've encouraged DNRs, GFPs, Game and Fish, whatever they might be called in all the states, to consider using these Pittman-Robertson funds for gun ranges or a free, safe place for the public to practice honing their skills and whatnot. So now from a born and raised South Dakota, I was fortunate enough to grow up in Aberdeen and grow up with a family that owned about 15 sections of land. We still own about 15 sections of land in Walworth County, the north central of South Dakota. When it came time for me to sight in my rifle, or I guess I started with a 30-30, open, you know, and that was, you know, shooting into an empty silage pit or a dry dam, you know, at a Nerf soccer ball or whatever we had to target it. Or now in our west pasture, just kind of setting up a 1,000-yard shot and practicing that. But not everybody has those opportunities. And I understand the gun range proposal to have a 1,200, up to the 1,200-yard shot along with other sites. So when I take my boys out, you know, now I have somebody, when I take my boys out on Beretta Road, we always take an extra garbage bag to haul away some of the debris that people leave behind so that the Forest Service doesn't shut that down for people to use. But there's only one spot out there where you can get a 100-yard shot.
You got 30 seconds for me.
Thank you. You're not going to get a 200-yard shot out there. And, you know, people who are out there, you know, I haven't seen anything completely unsafe yet. But you do have to look around and make sure people around you are handling firearms correctly and if not, we'll just get out of there for that day. You know, from that perspective, it would be nice. You know, and I'm just going to speak generally to the fact that we need a gun range. I think we need a nice gun range, and the types of training and education. You know, I'm going to put my NRA hat back on because that's a big focus for us: is training people and teaching them to properly use, handle firearms, and hunt safely. And to be able to have a classroom facility where you can go right from there to right outside and start practicing the skills you've learned in shooting. We don't have a lot of places out there that you can do that. When I grew up in Hunter State North, I wasn't able to do it. We had to take training one location and go to a different location. So with that, thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's all I had listed for those who wanted to talk regarding the shooting range. Does anyone else in the room who wishes to comment? Again, a reminder, this is the open forum, so typically we're only limited to 3 minutes per individual. So if it meets you, just please make it a meet you.
I think I can cover this in 3 minutes. Once again, George Van Dale, for South Dakota. I'm going to represent myself. I just wanted to let you hear from somebody who has experienced a great change in our shooting range in Pierce, South Dakota. We used to have basically a big double. For some reason, people think all the small appliances out there are used for targets. The only thing missing is the seagulls from the garbage pit. The Department of Game Fish and Parks using their funds built a whole new ranch in here. And I'll tell you, it's just a night and day difference. It's safe, it's clean. You can get your car right up to the shooting bays. It's got shade, it's got concrete benches, it's got a vault toilet. I wouldn't take my grandkids out to the other place to shoot. With this, I feel safe. I'm taking my grandkids out there. All my grandkids have fired their first guns at a range in here. It's just made such a huge difference. And I come to you as a hunter. Okay, a hunter has several responsibilities. And the first, of course, is to be safe. The second is to be legal. And the third is to be efficient enough so that when you hunt, you can effectively, very quickly, and cleanly harvest your game. And then finally you take that game home and you eat. Okay, you can't become a good shot unless you practice. It's no different than golf or bowling or anything else we do, driving or whatever, using a computer. You have to be proficient at it. And the only way you can get proficient at it is to practice it. So I guess from a hunter standpoint, I'm probably never going to use the range out in Rapid City. But I encourage you strongly to provide as many of these ranges as you possibly can to the hunters of South Dakota, to be able to take and practice and refine your shooting skills such that they become an ethical hunter. And I guess that's the open for any questions, but I would certainly encourage you to finalize this range. You're never going to find a perfect spot that's 30 minutes, 40 minutes outside of Rapid City that doesn't have some conflict. And this is the best available spot, and I would encourage you, let's just get this done. And we haven't purchased the land, and let's get this range started. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. Anyone else in the room or online that I missed or that wishes to talk about the shooting range? Seeing none, the next person I have for open forum is Julie Anderson. Julie, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Julie Anderson, and I live in Rapid City. I would like to state my opposition to the Nest Predator Bounty Program and the petition to change the use of hounds to take raccoons. The mission statement of Game Fish and Parks is the management of wildlife, yet you have initiated just this past month an amendment to allow night vision goggles to kill wildlife at night, which amounts to putting the Nest Predator Bounty Program on steroids, as many of the animals you will be taking at night are on the Nest Predator Bounty Program list. You have also initiated allowing mountain lions to be hunted 24/7 on the prairie, allowed the pursuing of hound hunting on public lands, and now a petition has come up for allowing hound hunting of raccoons. When is it going to be enough? When are you going to start doing your job, which is managing wildlife? This agency is turned into a rubber stamp for anyone with any inkling to kill an animal, and you are subservient to a governor who has decided that there will only be the killing of wildlife, not the preservation of it. It is your job to regulate, not allow slaughter of animals for fun, such as promoted in the Nest Predator Bounty Program. This program traps and bludgeons, shoots or strangles animals for a tail bounty, to teach children about the great outdoors. Trapping is in no way humane, but because it is the governor's pet project, you have allowed the slaughter of 134,604 animals in the last 3 years. This includes 106,000 raccoons, 15,700 striped skunks, 1,121 red fox, 1,093 badgers, and 10,600 possums. Make no mistake, this is not ethical or needed. Fur is fast becoming a thing of the past, and this attempt to revive a brutal and unnecessary industry is despicable. Also, the aim of the program to save non-native bird nesting sites so that instead of animals,
people can kill them is reprehensible. You as a commission bear the responsibility of allowing this to take place. People are always complaining of coyotes killing livestock, but yet you are killing the animals that are the natural food supply for them and many predators. With the hot, dry summers becoming the norm, you are killing the biggest natural regulator of ticks, the possums. Badgers help control prairie dogs, yet you are letting people kill them with no regard to the damage and consequence to the natural ecosystem. Non-lethal methods of animal conflicts with humans are never discussed as options to help people with wildlife conflicts, but this program isn't even about that. It is purely a teach kids to kill for fun program. Please, do your job. Stop the slaughter of native wildlife that has no legitimate reason to exist. Make 2022 the end of the Nest Predator Bounty Program. Stand up and say no. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person on my list is Jamie Ahaj.
Hi, my name is Jamie Ahaj. I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm speaking today as a citizen of South Dakota. Good afternoon, commissioners and Secretary Roblin. I'm speaking in opposition to the petition to allow non-resident hounds for hunting. Specifically, as it is, has been requested, it is non-resident hounds that would be allowed to hunt raccoons. We already allow 365 days a year for trapping. We have, yes, the Nest Predator Bounty Program from March 1st through July 1st, which not only kills the adults, our adult native wildlife, but also all their babies born during that time due to starvation. You have now approved the night hunting that is open to the public for the use of spotlights and night vision equipment, and then take into consideration all of the animals that die from natural deaths and disease. I've lived in this area for almost 40 years, and in this time, I haven't seen a whole lot of raccoons. You don't see a lot of opossums. You don't see a lot of other animals either. After growing up in eastern Nebraska, where they were pretty plentiful and you were always noticeable in roadkill, you definitely don't see that around here. I'm sorry that the man from Hewlett, Wyoming, who has put in this petition, as he states, he doesn't have enough raccoons to hunt with his hounds there. So he is requesting to hunt with them in out and to bring his hounds in to kill what's left of our wildlife. I am very opposed to this, and I hope that it will not move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on my list, I have Julie Johnson. Julie Johnson, are you online? And then the last person I had on my list is Robert Rober. Mr. Rober, are you online? Is there anyone else in the room or online that has not already spoken that wishes to speak to the commission? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that concludes the open forum.
All right, thanks very much. Always a good time to speak to the commission. Anecdotally, I've lived by a gun range for 15 years, a mile from my house, half a mile from my back pasture, where my grandkids rode horse, kept cattle. Cattle never spooked from the gun range, horses have never spooked from the gun range. Kids have never known to send a shot, and I sit out in my driveway at night, and you might hear a little bit of the pop, pop, pop. But the road noise of the county road, 600 feet from my house, is louder than anything I would hear from the government. So, there's no safety issue, there's no noise issue, and yes, that was the old gun range where they took out TVs and all small appliances to shoot. Wasn't quite as safe as you'd want it to be, police as you'd want it to be. Our new gun range in Watertown is outstanding, well used, well cared for, and it is safe. So, noise and safety. I was a half mile from it with my kids, so that's just my experience. So with that, I would suggest we take about a 10-minute break. If you guys will indulge us in that, we'll come back and get back to the piece of business.